First of all, I want to, the shiur is once again dedicated to Ilu Nishmas Racha Leah Basad Chaim Tzvi. And Libby is back in control. She was back last week, but she's back again this week. And Libby, I want to thank you for all the work you've done up to now. And Yimit Hashem, you'll continue going Michael and Choyo. Several questions have come in. One from Benjamin Milch, I hope to see him soon when he comes down to Israel. Regarding the machlokas of the going to Balatanya, you point that on one hand, the going to Balatanya are interpreting the Ari. On the other hand, it seems as if the, according to some shiur that I've given, the going it seems to be going against the Ari. You are right, Benjamin, both are true. Now, how can both be true and how can both be true? One which without the other. The fact is that the Goyim is accepting, in a certain sense, some of the basic ideas of the Ari, but his interpretation of these ideas are differing. So even though I would say that the ontology of the Ari is closer to that of the Balatanya, nonetheless, the Goyim can claim that he's offering a type of a creative interpretation of the Ari. I will not go into this in detail now, but Mir Tashem, later on we'll go back to this. I have a question from Chaim Harkavy. You spoke about limitations to Torah inquiry and limitations to scientific inquiry. I'm not clear exactly what you mean by that, because science also has limitations. It has to be logically based. I understand that, you know, in Torah inquiry, there are certain things we have to accept as true. We don't accept a scientific chas v'shalom and critique of Torah knowledge as we do in science, but those terms are only relative. In other words, Torah has a certain methodology and science has a certain methodology. But regarding Maaseh Bereishis, which is your specific question, like age of the evolution, age of the universe, in my opinion, one can understand these things as deeply as possible according to science. There is a basic incommensurability between Torah and science, which I have alluded to in previous shiurim, and in my opinion, therefore, there's nothing that science says about evolution or the age of the universe which in any way contradicts anything in the Torah. But once again, this will be for another time, Mitz Hashem. And Adam Khan, thank you for your chizak. Now, let us go on in the Gor. We're in the middle of the pivotal Parakei. And we're speaking about what's called the six midas with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world ethically, which are called by the Goyim Chagat Nahi, Chesed Gvur Teferes, Netzach HaYisot. And that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals ethically with humanity. Now, I want to read over again the last paragraph on Daf Kuf Lamed Hei, which means we're in Klal Hei and line 177. So let me just read it over again, and then we're going to go on to something which is sent out right before the shiur. You got it. It's from the Likutei HaGor, and we'll speak about that in a little while. I want to thank Tzipi Klaver for having done a remarkable job of getting it out right before the shiur. Now, on Daf Kuf Lamed Hei, line 177, the Goyim says as follows. This is now the last paragraph on Daf Kuf Lamed Hei. Ve'el ha-shisha nikoyim shisha k'tzovais. These six midas, namely, chesed gevurah teferes, netzach hod yesod, are called six k'tzovais. K'tzovais is what you would call six corners. Ha-katzeh is a corner. Now, why they call six corners? Kikol echad yesh lo katzeh u'gevul. Because each mida has a certain corner, a certain boundary. Ve'mis pashtin b'shisha k'tzovis ha'olam. Now, these six midas, which have six boundaries, or six corners, they in fact extend themselves in six dimensions of the world. U'manik b'hemis olamoy. And through the six dimensional ethical, I guess it's a sexagon, which in fact express themselves in the six dimensions of the world, because that's referring to the east, west, north, and south, and above and below, a hexagon. Hexagon is six, thank you very much. Reidei HaShisha Hanam is Gala Kavod Mahusai. And through this sixth dimensional, this hexagon, this ethical hexagon, right? So therefore is revealed Kavod Mahusai, the honor of God's kingdom, is Bovach, Shu Ika Veshenesh Kavod HaSabriya. That's the purpose of the creation. This we spoke about in the very, very beginning. Zel Malchus, and this is called Malchus, Tachlus HaKoil. This is the purpose of everything. Shloimei Amuni Yisrael, the belief of the Jewish people. Sheish Boicham Hashkiach HaKol, Ve'ela B'chines, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has divine providence over the world in all of these aspects, meaning this hexagonal providence. And that's the purpose. It's the Kaba Obo Hashemayim, take upon ourselves the oath of God's kingdom, namely the Torah and Mitzvahs. And of course, Kabbalah's Malchus is in every nook and cranny of the world. When you take Kabbalah's Seinu Obo Hashemayim now on Daf Kuflan and Vav, I'm on line 183. And through accepting upon ourselves the yoke of heaven by Yedei Kabbalasenu Omoch Hushamayim, Bikiyim Ritzaynai, by doing God's will, Zel Tarach Mitzvahs. These are the 620 mitzvahs. I have a question here from Ron Truxton. How are you doing, Ron? I haven't heard from you in a while. Halach is an abstraction, says Ron, not of this world. Yet you need to combine science with Torah for elevators, phones, and Shabbos. Much of halacha is rooted in the physical world and requires scientific medical knowledge. I'm not sure what your question is. If you're saying that, in other words, I'm not so sure what your question is. I mean, halacha is an abstract that you need scientific knowledge. I don't see that in the Goyin that these two things are actually a contradiction to each other. If, Ron, you could mention to me where I stated that these things are contradiction, I'll be able to resolve the contradiction. But nonetheless, I don't see where, in fact, actually, these two are contradiction. The halacha as an abstraction, as an a priori abstraction, in fact, actually establishes the principles. But the application of the principles to the world are very, very much contingent upon our practical knowledge of the scientific reality of the world. So that's how I would answer that question, given the fact that you are see a seeming contradiction between halakhic abstraction and knowledge of the physical world. I will leave it as such. In any case, says the Goyim, Ayidei Kabbalasenu Omach HaShemayim, by accepting upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, Bikiyim Ritzaynai, by doing God's will, Zeu Tarach Mitzvahs, these are the 620 mitzvahs, in other words, the Tayat Mitzvahs from the Torah, the 630 mitzvahs from the Torah, and the 7 mitzvahs of the Rabbanim. By with these things, by doing these mitzvahs, we crown God bekesel malucha, with the crown of malucha. Because we do the will, right? We do His will. We worship Him. We do His will. We do His service, like a slave who does the service of his master. When his galah etzon atoyv hamiti. And by this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed his true ratzon to do good, the tachlis, and that's the purpose of creation, with his galat kavod malchusai. And therefore, the honor of his kingdom is thereby revealed. Okay, now, the Goyim here introduces the concept of what's called malchus and keser. Once again, he's emphasizing over keser and malchus. And the Goyim is relating the keser and malchus towards the ethical dimension of the world, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses through the sixth, the hexagonal ethical pyramid or structure, namely classical defenders chodyosoid. Now, in order to understand really where does this fit into everything we've been speaking about here in the Gor, I think that before anything we have to actually look at what the Gor writes somewhere else. Now, it was sent to you before the Shira, the Likutei HaGro'ah that are at the very end of the Safed and Tznei also. Okay, so now what you should have gotten is, in fact, Daf Lamed Ches, that's Omer Aleph and Omer Beis in Lamed Ches. And then you should have also gotten Lamed Ches, which is, I'm calling it Amud Gimel Amud Dalet. And then Lamed Tes, Amud Aleph, Amud Beis. That's what you should have gotten. Should have gotten 3 pages. Now, what I'm going to begin reading is we're going to go through a rather lengthy piece in the Gemara, but it's fundamental because on the basis of this, we're going to be able to understand on a much deeper level the paragraph which I just read to you just a moment ago. So once again, I'm here on Daf Lamed Ches. It's on the second side of the page, and it's on the fourth column. In other words, the second column on the second side of the page, which is the fourth column of the leaf. And we're going to actually begin with, it says over here, V'nachzor le'inyan harisha. In other words, over here in the middle of the column here, the second column on this side, you'll see it says in bold letters, V'nachzor le'inyan harisha. Okay, now, I'm going to read through the Goyen and translate him word by word, and then at the end I'm going to come out with some incredible insights into what the Goyen is doing here at the end of Perek Vav, and perhaps what he's doing in the entire Sarah Klalim, and therefore we'll have insight into what I'm doing here and you're doing there listening to me. Now, the Naxo le'inyan Arisha, be'inyan ha'esa sfiras. Says the Goyen, let's go back to the esa sfiras. Once again, I don't want to say where the Goyen began, where he ended up, you could look for that yourself. The Kosafti, says the Goyen. Lamaila Shechachma, right? Now, the Gius of the Goyen that we have in front of us is Lamaila Shechachma. Lamaila Shechachma Utam Vatak Zainya. That's the purpose of things. Now, I want to change the Gius. This cannot be a proper shir on the Goyen if I don't change the Gius. Instead of reading Shechachma, it should read Mechachma. In other words, the person who wrote this, who transcribed this, thought that when the Goyen says because of Safti Lamaila, means the Goyen said I wrote above. That's not true. The Goyen didn't write anything above. Because Safti, right? The Goyen wrote, says I wrote, and then begins a sentence. Lamaila Mechachma, above Chachma. Hutam v'tachas ha'inyan. This is the purpose of things. In other words, even though up till now we have been speaking about the 10 spheres beginning with Chachma, as you all remember, as we plowed through the previous Pelokim, Perek Beis, actually Perek Gimel and Perek Dalet, you'll all remember that the first sphere we began with was Chachma. After that was Bina. After that was Das. Chabad. Chachma, Bina, Das. Never had the Goyen mentioned a Sfira above Chachma. Now, for the first time, the Goyen is going to introduce a Sfira above Chachma. That Sfira is Keser. We'll get to this in a little while. In any case, the Goyen writes with the Tribbetz correction of the Goyen, the Tribbetz edition of the Gemara, the Kosav, Lamaila Mechachma, above Chachma, Hutam V'tachas Ha'inyan. In other words, above Chachma, there's a sphere above Chachma, and that's the purpose. Teleology. V'ikya in Hu. It says the Gemara that the basic idea is, Sheba Machshava Shnei Devarim. There are two things in Machshava. When a person thinks, right? There are two things. Mikoidem, in the beginning, Choshev ha'inyan la'sois beklolus, la'sois kli. He thinks in general, he wants to make a vessel. He wants to create something. After he decides he wants to make a kli, v'yachaka choshev tzir ha'kli. After that, he decides how the kli is going to look. The design of the kli. V'oisi ha'tzir, and that tzir, hu gevul ha'kli. That's called the gevul of the kli. First he decides he wants to make a kli, then he wants to make a gvul, a boundary to the kli. That sounds like what? Chachma and Bina. V'chein b'chol dover shechoyser. That's the Gaon says, everything that I think. V'chein l'mayla, right, above in the world, avira u'b'lay gavul. Avira, when it's used, right, actually in the Zayah, the Kabbalah means atmosphere without gavul, unbounded. U'b'tzira, neisir ha'gavul u'mishkasa. That is a gavul that's made. The word is called Batsinda Kadanusa, which means a very small light. Vehain Gimel Devar. There are three things. Latzon Machshava Vitzir. Very, very good. Now we see there's three things. Machshava refers to Chachma. Tzir refers to Bina. What does Latzon refer to? And well, obviously, later on, as we'll see, in Yitzhak Hashem, the Goyim Ratzon refer to Keser. Keser is, in fact, above Chachma. And says the Goyim Vehain Bahanhaga. Right? In addition to this methodology, which we've elaborated, the structure of creation, the same thing applies to anhaga, which means an ethical relationship. Ratzon al zeh ha'adam, v'lasayis imoy chesed, u'gavul tziyu v'chesed. A person, first of all, has a ratzon to relate to man, and then he wants to do chesed, that would be chachma, and the gavul and tziyu to this, right, that would be the bina, the tziyu of the chesed called bina. But Shabbat Lamaila Michachma Hu Tachlis. What does it mean to say Lamaila Michachma Hu Tachlis? What does it mean the Tachlis above Chachma? I'm once again changing the Gilsa. Right? Look at your going, but keep in mind my Gilsa. It's not Shech Chachma, it's Mei Chachma. Umasha Kasat, he says the going what I wrote. Namely, quote, Lamaila Michachma Hu Tachlis. The Tachlis above Chachma. He Chachma Sheba Malchus. It's another type of Chachma. It's above Chachma. It's called Chachma Sheba Malchus, Kiyadua, as is known. Okay? So in other words, says the Goyim, there's two Chachmas. There's a Chachma Sheba Malchus, which is above Chachma. Later on, the Goyim is going to identify that with Keser. And then the Goyim says, V'chachma El Yoyna, there's a Chachma which is called the highest Chachma, Hudubas HaChoymer, which is like what's called Choymer, matter, existence, shuba klolos, which is klolos, bloitzia, without a design. That's matter. Chayma. And then after that is going to be tzia, which is bina. Now, what is this chachma sheba malchus? You should be asking an incredible question. How can chachma be above malchus? How can it be above chachma? Because malchus is the last figure, not the first figure. Well, we're going to make a very deep understanding of what Chachma Sheba Malchus is, because Chachma Malchus is really Keser. And in fact, note in Malchus is the sphere of Keser. How are we doing, alright? However, we're going to see that in fact, that's one way of understanding this is going to be, is when we get the Malchus, then in fact, actually, we're able to understand the highest sphere, which is the Chachma Sheba Malchus. We'll see why the God understands this. But perhaps on a much more basic level, it's understood in the Kabbalah of the Ari, and this is used many times in the Kabbalah of the Goyim, that in fact, there are different worlds. We've actually spoken about already, Atzilus, right? Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya. In other words, Atzilus has 10 spheres. Bria also has 10 spheres. Yitzira has 10 spheres. Asiya has 10 spheres. Now, the klal is, and this is in Yari, in the Goyim too, that the malchus of the higher world is identical with the keser of the lower world. So it turns out, when the Goyim says chachma sheba malchus is above chachma, is lamayla mi chachma, what the Goyim means, the chachma in the malchus of the higher world is above the Chachma El Yoyna of the lower world. In other words, Chachma El Yoyna means the highest Chachma of the lower world. Chachma Sheba Malchus is the lower Malchus of the higher world. Okay, in any case, either way we understand it, let's go further with the Goyim. So the Goyim says there's Klolos and there's Tzir. This is Pashtus, things expanding, and then there's contraction. Mechein Bevlat Ha'adam. Also, too, when it comes to a baby that's born, Tipa sa av litzio, the tipa of the father is without tzir. It's expansion. Imay mitzayeres, the mother gives gvul, gives boundary. V'chein chub sheba adam, and similarly the chachma bina in a person. Chachma gives rise to a person's conception of something in general, fundamental conception, and bina is when a person decides how he's going to go about structuring his conception. Goes on the coin and says, V'chein b'maisa b'reishis, also b'maisa b'reishis too, we have the same thing, chachma and bina, klolos and gvul, klolos and tziur. V'yayim elokim, it says v'yayim elokim, and then it says v'chachach v'yas, God made. Kama, k'shakasa, oma b'chachma, v'yayim is b'chachma. God conceives the world, conceives the thing he's creating for klolos. The asa, v'yas elokim, is b'bina. Then there's gevul, there's boundary, there's tzio, there's design, there's structure. For us, who are tzio. Okay? So what the going now is set up to the up to now is the following thing. There's conception, which conceives the thing in a general manner. And then there's the act of structuring something. The conception is chachma. The structural aspect is bina. However, we're going to see that there's something above this. And there's something above this can be called, what we all up to now refer to it as mal as chapesh of a malchus, which is really kesser. Vein eses sfiras ban hoga. Says the guy, there's also 10 sfiras, can be interpreted as a ban hoga. Give a chol maise, poil is bach, shemai b'yil hazeh, b'yil ma'ba. Right? Every maise, which occurs both who does, v'yil b'hazeh, v'yil ma'ba. Vein b'vak. In other words, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu makes, Kodesh Baruch Hu's actions are Vav. Vav refers to Shisha Ketzovos, the hexagon of ethics. Ukmo Shekazim Kinei HaShemayim HaChadoshim L'chein Nikoyim Oves B'chagat. The Oves are Chesek Vot Teferes. And there are three, Shit Iman HaKodesh Baruch Hu L'Hazer, the Eil HaMabo. That's the interface of Eil HaZer L'Hamabo. L'chein B'chol HaNhova Kol Es HaSfiras, and that's Sfiras, and every HaNhova, any ethical relation Kodesh Baruch Hu establishes with man. V'nei chob, says the guy, chob and bina, kishnei hafachem, like two things which are the opposite of each other. Ki ha-chokbu hu machshevas ha-dobel ha-soitz. Chokbu refers when a person begins to think of doing something. The first conception, u-bina la-hefech. Bina is the opposite, they take gvul l'chol-dobel, they give a boundary to everything. V'en kamayim ve-eich, I'm on the fourth line from the bottom of the guy in the column. And they're like mayim and esh, like water and fire. Sheteva ha-mayim is pashtos, the nature of water is to expand. If any of you have had a flood or a leak in your house, you know what I'm talking about. Sheteva esh lehefech, and the teva fire is, I guess, contraction. Fire also expands, not to think about that. I guess fire licks up the water. Actually, it destroys things. Fire destroys things, and therefore contracts things. It eats up things. Both of them are parts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation of the world, and they're called Chub, Chachmu, Bina. Derech Moshel, says the Goyen, he's giving me a Moshel. What's in the Goyen? He's going on, explain to me what Chachmu, what his Bina is, so that we'll understand these things better, and in addition to this, we'll understand more when the Goyen goes on to the Vav Ketzavos, to Malchus and the Keser. Derech Moshel, on the second line from the bottom, in the column, the fourth column, second column on this page. Derech Moshel Lebriyas HaOilem, the world was created. Shemachshemes HaChachma Lebroi, because Baruch Hu thought to create Mahalchi HaShemes, the orbit of the sun, V'yareach, and the moon, V'yoyim V'alayla, day and night, Kayitz V'chayref, which is summer and winter, Zayin Koyf Elecha, seven times of stars and planets, I guess planets, your base mazalites, 12 mazalites. I'm now on to the next page. The Flamites of an Aleph, Ushaka Chavilechas, other planets, the Kolacha, Mishitra Ba'aleth, Bechol Tzemochim, all the vegetation, Ubalet Chayim, and the animals, the whole wonderful world, Shuchach Barabba Beflow, which is an incredible Chachma. Peter has a question, how is the conception and structuring is applied to what events? We're going to get to this in a little while, Peter. Right now, we're not in ethics yet. Right now, we're conceiving the world. We're going to get to ethics in a little while. Now, so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, conceives the world. Now, what is Bina? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide? He wants a sun, he wants a moon, he wants stars, he wants planets, he wants vegetation, he wants animals. Then Bina says the Goyim on the second line, who get the Tzulas Kol Dover. That's exactly how everything's going to look like. The tzul of everything, the fun structure of everything. The double to Elas HaChachma. And basically, the structure will in fact express the conception. Hanal. Now, what is Keser? What is Keser? Where's the ethics here? Where's the ethics? Well, what is Keser? Says the God an incredible thing. Everything we're speaking about is what we would call ontology. Ontology meaning the truth of the world, the scientific or what we phenomenologically can see in the world. What is what is? The truth of the world. To describe the world. Kesser, says the Goyen, who are tachlis. Kesser is tachlis. Kesser is, what's the purpose of it all? I know you want to make a sun and stars, and you want to make plants, and you want to make animals. That's chachmah. And also, too, through Bina, you decide how the animals and the plants and the stars are going to be structured. But why? What's the purpose? What's the tachlis? Teleology, what's the purpose of all these things? Says the Goyen, Keser is tachlis. Kama malchus. V'nikra kesa malchus. Interesting, says the Goyim. The tachlis is keser, just like malchus is the keser. Now, keser is called keser malchus. And in fact, actually, that's the lashon that the Goyim used at the very end of Kalal Hei. He spoke about keser malucha. Now, how could Keser be Tachlis? And how could Malchus be Tachlis? Keser L'Choyle is what? The first sphere. Keser before Chachma. Like the Goyim said above. L'Mayla, above Chachma, is the Tachlis. The Goyim said it twice. By the way, Derech Agav, right? A tangent. Now you see why I changed the Girsa. Because the Tachlis is above Chachma. Okay? But now we have an anomaly. We're speaking about something called Keser Malchus. What type of a hybrid is Keser Malchus? Keser is the highest sphere. Malchus is the lowest sphere. Now why is the Goyim connecting Malchus with Tachlis? Because of course the lowest sphere, which is the very end of the entire Ishtalshus, the end of all of the spheres, is Malchus. So since Malchus is the Tachlis. So how could Keser be the Tachlis and Malchus also be the Tachlis? Says the Gor? No, there's a difference. I'm on now the fourth line in the first column, Daf Lamites. Says the Gor, Elisha Malchus Utachas HaPu'ula. Says the Gor, Malchus is the working, that's the physical end of things. Things have their end, the Pu'ula and act. Malchus is Tachas, a teleology and act. Keser tachlis apolius barach. Tacht keser is teleology in not noumena, the person. There's noumena and phenomena. Noumena is gadla, person, persona, deus persona. The tachlis of God is called keser. The tachlis in God in act is called Malchus. Now what is this Tachlis of God? In Deus Persona, what is this Tachlis of God? Says the Goyim, who nela mi oid, it's very hidden. It's hidden. In fact, Keser in Kabbalah is referred to as Ayin. Ayin means non-being. Who nela mi oid. And why is it nela? Nela for good reason. We already know it's nela. Because Chachma is Koyach Ma. Chachma is the first existence of something. Keser is higher. It must be nothing. It's done being. Yadanu Shabbos Baruch Insof Lakol Bria Lashum Dava. Kol Baruch Hu doesn't need to create the world. He's not in need of the world. Vabriyas Ein Mesif Lashum Te'elas. And the creations do not add anything to God in and of Himself. So therefore, we know, as we saw, as we discussed 12 lectures ago, 12 shiurim ago, that there's an irreducible dichotomy between God in and of Himself and God's Himself to the world. But the fact is, what gives rise to this dichotomy? What gives rise to this dichotomy is an abyss of nothingness. That's what's called Nelam. That's called Keser, L'chein Kona Keser Motzoi. In other words, the vacuum, the abyss between God of Himself and God as He reveals Himself to man, there's a non-being, a state of non-being there, and that's called Rotzoi. Ki ein rak Rotzoi levad, there's only Rotzoi. Because we can only speak about Rotzoi. We cannot get further than Rotzoi. You remember, in fact, the Goyim learned that the Tzimtzum was in the Rotzoin. But in fact, the Goyim is saying there's something called Rotzoin, which means the teleological thought of God, which is Ayin, which is hidden. The Zewa Tachlus Anu Masigin. And this is the Tachlus. Says the Goyim, I'm going to give you an example, a metaphor. And the metaphor is very, very important. What's the metaphor for important? What is the thing that's most hidden about a person, said the Goyim? The thing that's most hidden about a person is his rotzoi, his will. What's motivating the person to do something? In nelam bepu'ula. In other words, in every act, a person can always describe the act. You'll see, even on the most fundamental level, but the element of Rotzoi, the person's ultimate desire, is always something which is hidden. It says the Goy, Ki ha-pu'ula ba-tachlis shel ha-pu'ula hi nigla. The act is revealed, and the purpose of the act is revealed. Ha-machshav va-tzia hu nistar. Now, a person's conception of his act before he acts, and the tzia, the person's design of his act right before he acts, it's hidden. But once again, through a person's act, we can have some understanding of the way he conceived the act and the way he planned the act. But the ultimate reason why the person acted, the poyo, the persona, no one can ever learn of the person's ultimate reason from the person's act. Ki in a yedeya im hu letzorech atzmai. The sheva like he said. The person's down in a chair, at a table. Is the person sitting down because he wants to sit down? Or lachal al shulchan, does he want to eat at the table? Or sochev. Right? A person working, v'tachlis b'shul mois, a person doing something for money. Or v'chidim, doing it for free. V'tzichay be'enav. Maybe he just wants to flatter people. Maybe he's doing this for his children. I'm giving the shiur. Why am I giving the shiur? I'm doing it for the money. Am I doing it because I want to show you how much the guy is? Is it doing it because I like you? Am I doing it because someone's forcing me to give it? You can never know that. You can know what I'm saying. You can even know how I plan the shiur. I can see the shiur. But ultimately, why am I giving the shiur? That's completely hidden from a person. It's inscrutable. And then, now, what is the Goyim saying over here? A very, very important thing. And I want to here bring something which I saw in the forthcoming lectures of Yeshabes Soloveitchik. We relate to God in two ways. He calls it Deus Mundus and Deus Mundus and Deus Persona, or Deus Abscabitus. There's the revealed God and the hidden God. The revealed God, Deus Mundus, is the God of the world. On one hand, the world is intelligible. I can understand the chokhmah of the world. I can understand the structure, the physical, the scientific structure of the world. Deus Mundus, God reveals his creation to me in a way which is intelligible. However, this world, there's nothing ethical about the world. There's no personal aspect of the world. It's a pure object to be analyzed and studied scientifically. Now, what about a person? A person, I can never study a person scientifically. I mean, I could describe him medically. I could even describe the synapses and everything else in his head. But the ultimate desires of a person, the ultimate ulterior motives of a person, are hidden from me. On the other hand, what I can relate to a person, because a person can establish a personal relationship with me, he can show me warmth, he can show me caring. The universe, while it's intelligible mathematically, is cold, it's alienating. So we have here an interesting thing. A person spans the spectrum. On one hand, a person can relate to me personally. A person can confide in me. I can establish a close, intimate relationship with a person. On the other hand, a person's thoughts are completely hidden. A person's ultimate motives are completely and totally unintelligible to me. So a person spans the spectrum from total intimacy to total unintelligibility. In between is the world. The world, on the other hand, is intelligible intellectually. On the other hand, though, I cannot establish a relationship with the world. The world is an object. Now, says the Goyim, is these two aspects are two aspects of God. In other words, there's an intellectual relationship to God through understanding God's creation. That's what we spoke about in the first four shiurim. The first four shiurim, we emphasized the fact that God has created a world which is intelligible to man. That's Chochma, Ubina, and Das. Man, by studying the world, or by studying the Word of God, which is also part of God's creation, which is the Torah. Man, by apprehending these things intellectually, the physical world, or the Torah, is able to establish an intellectual connection with God's creation. And therefore, this brings about an intellectual connection with God's mind. That's an intellectual aspect of God. But what about the personal God? The personal God, according to the Goyim, so in other words, the sphere, the intellectual connection of man and God through God's creation, Deus Mundus. This is through Chachma Bina V'Das. And this was the subject matter of Klolim Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. The Sphiras, however, of Keser and Malchus, as we'll see in a little while, and the Vav Ketzavos are the ethical aspect of God, which is part and parcel of a different relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is the relationship with the personal God, Deus Personis. And that's what the Goyim says. The Goyim says, "V'chein al machanam atachlus ha'achad b'shem Malchus." The ultimate tachlus called Malchus. "U'kavosh atachlus ha'malucha v'rhoves ha'melech l'mloich inu el ha'keser." V'chein al machanam gam ha'keser. The king is a crown, and that's called keser. Over emes hakol kan lefano yisbarach. Everything is in front of God. El gadei lehiti v'itzano v'atzavano l'chabdoi. In order to do good for us, Kosh Baruch Hu wanted us to honor him, etc., etc. And he says, this is the purpose. The purpose is the tachlis is the man doing the Torah mitzvahs. And the Torah mitzvahs, in fact, represent what? The Torah mitzvahs represents the ultimate tachlis of the world, which is the keser. In other words, when man does Torah mitzvahs, this in turn represents the very purpose and rotzon the Kadosh Baruch Hu had before he conceived of the created world. So in other words, Malchus Malchus reveals ultimately the Kesem. And in fact, this is beautifully expressed by the Gaon. If we go back on Daf Lamed Ches, once again the second side, we actually began reading this, I believe, last week. But the fact is, says the Gaon, now I'm on here, it says, this is page 214, it's Lamed Ches and Beis, I'm on the first column. And here the Gaon says the following thing. The Gaon says, O Malchus, lines down, last two words, Malchus, Shua Tachlis, Malchus, which is the Tachlis, Nikra Kesa, is called Kesa, that's Kesa Malucha, they operate together, No Tsoifa Bilchilosan, the Soif, the Tachlis, is rooted in the beginning, Shu Tachlis Akol, which is the purpose of everything, Haratzai, Fe'enu Kachav, is that like Chachma? Yeshomu tachas ha-protim. Chachma is just the tachas of the protim. So it's called Chachma Zaira, little Chachma. Okay? But it says the tachlis, right, is before the rots of the Elyon called Radla, and that's the Sherish HaMalchus. Shesh Risham Aliyasuk Yaduah, the Malchus, when man does the rots of the Kaddish Baruch Hu, when the acts of the world come to their culmination, their proper combination, that's called the Malchus rising to Kesa. Ki Adua, says the guy, this is in the Sifrei HaEmes, Sifrei Kabbalah, that's the Aliyah, the rising of Malchus to Kesa. The world, dear students, is a circle, maybe it's a winding helix, and that when the Malchus comes to combination, it reconnects with the Kesa. Curvature, curved universe, as science has spoken about, and we'll speak about it, Mitzvah Shem, that's the important contribution of general relativity. And that's called Radla. Reishit lo yisyada, that's the unknown, that's the ayin of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the non-being. V'sham sherash ha-malchus, that's the root of Malchus, and that's where it goes up. Except that the Malchus is the tachlis ha-mezgale. The Malchus is the revealed teleology of the world. At the time when people keep the Torah, Niglas Hamid Azois, it's revealed. It's revealed, in other words, and therefore we reveal the most hidden aspect of Deus Aspardisus, of the hidden God, the most hidden things are revealed. It can only be revealed at the very end when man takes forth and is Bekayim, is Tachlis. And that's the ultimate will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is totally unintelligible, hidden, can only be known at the very, very end of history. Now, so what has the Gaon done? He's done an incredible thing. The Gaon now has laid out the structure of ontology and ethics. Ontology is located, the truth, the scientific and intellectual truth of the world. Whether it be the scientific truth, whether it be the intellectual truth of the Torah, which is what Ron Truxton was speaking about, the abstract halacha, that's in Chochma Bina Badas. The ethical truth of the world is rooted in the will of God, which is hidden. That's Keser, before Chochma Bina Badas. It's revealed only through Malchus, which comes at the very end. And somehow the Malchus wraps around in this type of curvature. We're going to make it non-Euclidean in Yitzhak Hashem next week. And the bridge, the way in which it's constructed, the way in which it's directed, is through the hexagon, the ethical hexagon of the Vav Ketzavos of Chesed with Vedatzot of Yisrael, which is the means by which in the physical world, man is able to perceive the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and by doing that, basically creates the teleological purpose of creation. And that's the incredible structure which the Gaon has given to the Sefirot. Now, what's interesting is that the God understands, makes an interesting analogy, that the six spheres of Al-Haga, Chesed, Gevura, Tefelas, that's a Chod Yesod, that these spheres are in the six Ketzaves of the world, the six directions of the world. The Goyim seems to be saying that the physical world also, in a certain sense, is the arena, the stage for ethics. Meaning that even though when man looks at the physical world, he's able to apprehend the intellectual structure, the rational structure of the thought of God that went into creating the world. Nonetheless, imminent in the physicality of the world, the six directions of the world, is the hexagonal ethical dimensions which constitute the way the creation relates to man. And ultimately, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to man. So in the Goyim, the physical world has a dichotomy. Its intellectual and rational structure locate themselves in the mind of God. The Torah too locates its structure in the mind of God. That's Chochma Bina V'Das. The physical world in which we live, in which man faces the natural world, the structure of that is ethical. Man's, the responses to man in the physical world, as man either does or disobeys the will of God, that ultimately converges into the wherewithal, the Ratzon Elyon, the Reishis L'Yada, that which comes before creation, the non-being, which is the wherewithal and the reason for creation. And that's the structure which the Goyim now has given to the ten spheres. So in a certain sense, the Goyim has laid out the metaphysical structure of ontology and ethics. In a certain sense, ethics wraps around ontology. Ontology is in the middle, seemingly higher, but ultimately it's encircled by ethics, which is an incredible thing. It's going to have a lot of important consequences in Mit Hashem in the next several kolamim. Now, I want to speak a little bit here about where is the Goyim going now. We see, up till now in the kolamim, we've actually been speaking about intellectual apprehension. Chachma Bina V'Das. We've spoken about creation, and we've spoken about the Devar Hashem, the Torah. In other words, in Klolim Aleph, Beis, Gimel, and Dalet, we were interested in really the ontological structure of the creation, that creation either being the physical world, which we understand scientifically, or being the Torah, which is the Dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Dibur HaKadosh Baruch Hu also can be understood intellectually, apprehended, not the same thing as scientific, but there's, you know, each one has its own rules. We do science according to rules, and we learn Torah according to various rules. That's directed to Chaim Harkavy. However, that's ontology. That's man, ontology allows man to intellectually apprehend creation. There's another aspect to existence, which is called ethics. Ethics uncovers the deep ulterior motive within God and consequently within man. God's ultimate motive can never be known. That's beyond man to understand. However, man, by doing God's will, can come to discover a little bit of what the purpose of creation was, what God had foreseen as the reason by which we created the world in the very, very beginning. This represents ethics. Ethics is located in the very physicality of the world. Ontology is located in the scientific abstraction of the world. ethics is located in the details of the world. In other words, in science and ontology, we deal with abstraction. We deal with models. When we learn the Torah too, at least theoretically, we deal with abstract models, a priori cognitive models which we construct in order to understand the world. However what? However, in ethics, we're interested in detail, in the physical detail of the world. The physical detail of the world cannot be it goes beyond the rational structure, because the rational structure is not in need of details. Details appear to be, in a certain sense, random. The randomness of the world, which is located in the details of the world, that is explained, and that is part and parcel of the ethics of the world, which leads to the deepest recesses of God's ratzon, of God's will, and which is only expressed in man exercising his free will to obey the commands of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this world of ethics requires a whole new Kabbalah. The Kabbalah that we learned in the first four klolim has to now be made incredibly more difficult. Why is it more incredibly more difficult? Because in the world of detail, there's a relationship between the general and the particular, the klal and the prat, the makif and the pnimi, the chitzon and the pnimi. There's a relationships which are not purely intellectual, but they involve the relationship between conception and detail. The world, the very detail of the world as it is, the existential existence of the world. Therefore, the Goyim is going to have to now develop an entirely new metaphysics, Kabbalah, to provide the proper way of discussing detail, prat versus klal. Up till now, we've speak about abstraction. We've spoken about chachmah, intellectual apprehension. Now, what is the existential language we're going to use to describe detail? This requires a whole different metaphysical methodology. The God is going to present that to us in Yitz Hashem, in Klal Vav and Klal Zayin. In addition, we have another thing which we have to speak about. One of the important Giluyim revelations of the Ariya Kadosh was the concept of what's called a Paltzuf. A Paltzuf is the Kabbalistic expression of the personal God. Like I said to you before, the first four klolim are Deus Mundus. The world, in its mathematical intelligibility, is cold and impersonal. However, there's an aspect with which relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu, in which relate to him personally, Deus Persona. It's also Deus Askanitus, the hidden God. It has an intimacy, but it has a hiddenness. The ultimate intimacy, is balanced on the other end of the spectrum with an ultimate hiddenness. This requires a different Kabbalistic language. This, the Ari came up with the Kabbalistic language of what's called the Paltzuf, that the Sfiras are not purely intellectual symbols, like Kasiris wanted to claim in his theory of symbolic forms, but that the symbols, in fact, take on a tzulas ha'adam, a human form. Peter Sugar was asking the question, does Torah have its own ontology or is it essentially an ethical construct? The Torah has both. On one hand, the Torah has abstract principles by which we understand halachas and relate to the world. On the other hand, there's an ethical relationship, right? The Torah is both ontology and ethics. It can be analyzed, apprehended intellectually, but the Torah also is a means by which I establish a personal relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the essence of what Judaism is. There's an ontology and ethics in the Torah. Okay, now, so Emir Hashem, right? This is the plan. The plan now, for the next number of Shi'ulim, I believe we're up to Shi'ul Yud Beis, 12. Right? Yud Beis Koich Vaya, we say in the, right? in Hagadah Shel Pesach. We're at the midway point. At this midway point, we have now traversed the line from ontology into ethics. Now we're going to have to rework the entire Kabbalah Sahari in the eyes of the Goyim in order to place it in its proper ethical perspective. And this is a yesod of the rationalism of the Goyim, that there's always a dichotomy between ontology and ethics. The world has to be apprehended in accordance with its scientific intellectual truth. On the other hand, we must not forget that there's an entire ethical dimension, which is part of the reason that we were created and how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, in any case, I will just end up, and just to quote the last few lines in Klal Hei, that, as we said before, Kesa Malucha. The purpose of the Shia was to understand these two words, Kesa Malucha. What's the God saying, Kesa Malucha? That we have to Makayim, the Avodah B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, like an Eved, like a slave, is Makayim, the Rotzon of his master. When his Gala Rotzon HaToyim, and through this will be revealed the Rotzon HaToyim, God's will to do good for man. Hamiti, the true Rotzon HaToyim. The Tachlis, which is the purpose of creation. When his Gala Kavoy Malchusay, in so doing, the purpose of creation, Kavoy Malchusay, will be revealed to the world. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. And that's the tachlis for Klal Yisrael to take their mitzvahs. And Mi'etz Hashem, beginning next week, we're going to begin now the new metaphysical foundations of this dimension of ethics. We're going to go through the concepts of Kli, Makif, Nikaf, Pnimi, Makif, Shkocha Klolis, Igulim, Yoshe, Shkocha Plotis, etc., etc., an entire terminology which the Goyim is going to take from the Ari and going to use it in a totally different dimension, the ethical dimension. And this is, in fact, actually, by this, the Goyim is going to go then into the Patsufim, and I'm going to get a beautiful perspective and overlay, an overarching understanding of the depth of the Kabbalah and all of this. Is due to the tremendous genius and insight and profound understanding of Rabbeinu HaGoyin, Rabbeinu Eliyahu, the Reb Shlomo Zalman. Il v'kodesh, as a saint and an angel, because Baruch Hu gave him as a gift to the world, the man should find himself, right, both ethically and ontologically, ethically and intellectually, that he should do the rotzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by learning the Torah, by doing God's Ratzon, by connecting with Him intellectually, by so doing, completing the Tachlis, being the Tachlis for which the world was created. Thank you very much. We will end over here. Have a good Tavach, have a good week. I'm very excited that, in fact, some of you are alive and asking more questions. And I encourage you to ask questions, because without asking questions, there cannot be a true dialogue and an intellectual and an ethical relationship, well, intellectual relationship between me. I don't know what you want, ethical and intellectual relationship with me. But in any case, through asking questions, and in fact, actually, this also spurs my thinking, and therefore we could bring this year to its tachlis, which is number 24, will be 24, to Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei-Midas 2. Be well, have a good Tavach, and we'll see you next week.